Hello, everyone. Welcome back to episode 27 of the Three Quarter Time Podcast. I'm Janus. I'm joined with the beautiful Cookie and the inspirational T-Dub. Now, September has sprung. You know what that means? Finals are in the air.
Bang.
T-Dub, how was your weekend?
Weekend was good. So it's just better after the bye. Footy finals are on. A couple of cracking games, which we'll get into, especially one in particular. It was an absolute beautiful contest. Other than that, NFL is back. So I was happy for about 3 days. Then I woke up this morning and watched my Dolphins play. It was beautiful. But yeah, we'll get to that later in the pod. But a lot of footy finals and a lot of NFL today because it is the christening of the NFL weekend. Anyway, Cookie, how are you?
Not too bad, T-Dub. We had a cheeky little Father's Day catch up, which was beautiful.
That is true.
I love just running into you just random areas.
It's beautiful. It's like the Twin Towers. They just appear.
I know, it's great. I rock up, I see your car, and I say, oh, yes. No plans whatsoever, but it's just beautiful.
It is.
Janus, what did you get up to on Father's Day? You go back to the Rat?
I did. I went back to Rat Town after the qualifying final. We made it up to the MCG, watched the Cats take on the Lions, then went back on Saturday. And then we went to Torquay for a little sort of
birthday
celebration on Sunday, and then came back up Sunday night.
That is phenomenal.
A bit of an action-packed weekend for me.
It's huge.
I love it, Janus.
We love that.
Well, Janus, T-Dub, let's just get straight into it. We're at the game on Friday night.
We were.
Exciting. Just good to be back. Finals footy. Cats versus the Lions. It was an anticipated contest.
Yeah.
And I don't think many people saw it going the way it went, personally. Except for Dub. Easy in hindsight, though.
Exactly. Exactly right. I'm being a knob. But yes.
It was interesting. The Cats were clearly the better team.
100%.
T-Dub, I'll let you go first. How did you see it?
It was a cracking final early. Pressure was good. Then Geelong just were too classy. Defended Brisbane's ball movement as best as any team has all year, I would say. They just denied the corridor ball movement, denied the quick ball movement. Pressure was elite. And back six played just so well. I mean, and Brisbane just don't have any forward line. Like, they don't have a tall forward target. They've got a third gamer and a not as good as Joe Danaher player. So, it was a good game. Geelong were just clinical. Like, it was a clinical way to win a qualifying final. If you're going to do it, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
But I am not the fan here. Janus, your Cats are through to, I think, the 15th prelim or 14th prelim in 19 years.
19 games,
it must be hard.
Yep.
Not really
joking. Listen, I mean, I did go into the game quite nervous. I'm still quite traumatized after the prelim from last year. But obviously, like you said, it was a good game early. And then we sort of just overwhelmed them purely with classiness. But one thing that really stuck out to me, and with our best performances, the team works so well together. All parts of the ground are connected. They're unified. There's just that connection. You know, the back six stood up really well. Jack Henry was good. Connor O'Sullivan looked pretty good for his first final. Tommy Stewart, Sam DeConing pushing forward. You know, I think we had 13 individual goal scorers, which is the equal most of a final. So everyone was getting involved. And my Irish boys, they got given a task and they both stuck to their guns and they were unbelievable. O'Connor on Ranger, but my boy O'Sheen Mullen, the monkey's off the back. He kicks his first goal in AFL football. And I've been on the O'Sheen train. You boys know this. I've been on the O'Sheen train for a very long time. I've got his badge on my bag. I take it to work every day. And people are like, why do you have him on your bag? Who is he? I mean, your brother at the game, Liam, he said, who's O'Sheen Mullin? And I took that quite offensively.
He barracks for Geelong too, by the way.
And he barracks for Geelong. Anyway, I've been on the O'Sheen train and I've been wanting him to kick that goal. I've backed him in, stuck by him. I love what he does. The Irish assassin. When that ball fell in his lap, you best believe I got up. And when he kicked that goal, right foot snap around the body. Holy crap. I went bananas. I have never been that sort of animated at a football game before. But when he kicked that goal, I went nuts. And Cookie can attest to that.
I basically just grabbed Janus at the waist because he was about to vault four rows in front of us and just run into the ground. Literally.
He would have given him a hug.
I genuinely felt like such a proud dad watching him kick that goal. I genuinely did.
And that was beautiful, Janus.
There's a great photo of him celebrating. Mark O'Connor got right to him. As an early birthday present or a birthday present to myself, I'm going to go to Kmart, going to get a print, frame it, and I'm going to put it up.
It better be on the set.
Oh, it will be.
It better be on the set.
But I was so proud of him. And I went home that night and I was just thinking, so proud of him.
Fair enough. The best part about it is you got to see it.
Yeah. Yes.
I was there. Yeah. I was there. And in the qualifying final as well, what a time to do it.
Wait till he kicks four on grand final day.
Anyway.
That's cool.
It was beautiful. We were down the pocket where he kicked the goal. And we're also down the pocket where Mark O'Connor gave Rainer the biggest shirt front you've ever seen. Joking. Oh, it was hilarious. We were watching and they brought the ball over and whatever. We didn't know what happened. Rainer kicks the goal. Then Guthrie comes over, gives him the shirt front.
And no.
It was the funniest thing because I was watching the umpire. And he just looked at it for like a 2 seconds. He thought about it. Then he blew his whistle. Then he put out his hand. And I just burst out laughing, which there weren't many people laughing.
That was not the right response given who you were standing next to.
I was going to say, that was the proverbials coming out next to me were not laughing sounds. There's a lot more stronger diction.
It was funny. I went from being so energized to being literally irate with like seething anger. And Cookie, he's never seen me more excited and he has never seen me more irate at a football game.
The funny thing was, Janus, that I found, usually when you're angry, you just say something. But this time you put your hand over your mouth and I couldn't hear what you were saying. You were just like talking to yourself.
That's beautiful.
Oh, it was funny.
Yeah.
The cats were far too good. Just quickly, what a win by the Pies. Yeah. Went over to Adelaide in their thousands and made a big noise at the Adelaide Oval.
You know Collingwood subsidised the buses going over? I think they paid half of it or something like that.
Yeah, they did. They
really want to make some prison jokes here. Oh, God. Got them out on day release.
they were way too good. To experience. Really, I should have won by more.
Yeah. See, that's the thing with Adelaide. I think it's that lack of finals experience. I feel like that was always going to be the question for them, whether their lack of finals experience would impact them. And I think in that game, it was pretty obvious that Collingwood had been there before, despite their six week patch. They'd been there before. They knew what to do. Adelaide were a bit shell-shocked. They just didn't really know how to handle that finals pressure because they've never, they haven't been there, you know.
Yeah. And the game was over when Phil Thorpe handballed it to Keys, running into an open goal. Like, as soon as he did that, the game was over at that point. Like, you just don't do that. Teams don't win finals and do that. That sort of stuff.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, their back six were good. Early.
Yeah, Worrell was really, really quite good.
Worrell was unbelievable.
Yeah, their really back six were good. Very, very good.
But I mean, it was just one in the middle of the ground, and they couldn't keep up.
I mean, Keys and Fogarty and Dawson basically didn't have a kick.
Yeah, and I didn't think Rankin's Rankin's absence would be that noticeable, but it definitely was. Like, it was definitely quite notable. I'll tell you who was really, really good on Thursday night. Isaac Quainer. He was really, really good. His aerial ability, he takes such clean marks, and he just gives so much drive and power going forward. What a way to make a statement in a qualifying final. Well done, Quainer.
Well said, Jonas. Tate, I want to throw this to you. In the contrary, the Suns had little to none finals experience, but they might be built of different material compared to those South Australians.
I tell you what.
Talk us through what you saw, Tate.
I watched pretty much, in contrary to most of the year, I watched, I didn't watch the Hawthorn game. I was playing golf, but we'll get to that later.
I
watched all three of the other finals, basically from minute bounce to final siren. My word. That, if you haven't, just do yourself a favor and go and watch the mini match or the full game of that Gold Coast final. That was one of the great finals I've ever seen. Just two sides, just hungry. Just like savages, just wanting to win. And Noah Anderson, Matt Rowell, my goodness, they are special. They are unbelievable footballers. And we sort of gave up on the unsung heroes when we did the conversational format change. Bodie Yuland and Will Powell.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the best performances from a defensive mid-sized duo almost ever. Like, Yuland was outmarking Patrick Voss. Yeah. Powell was taking on four players on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
And then Big Daddy Mac, Big Mac Daddy, they just sent him forward and he just clunks it. What did he say in his press conference? He's like, oh, I've been defending Tracy pretty comfortably all night. And then I thought, I'll take Tracy to the deep water and see if he can defend me. And he couldn't.
Didn't touch him.
No, he just.
He had so much space.
It was a privilege to watch that game. That was such a good game of footy. And then, of course, the cherry on top, David Swallow kicking a goal. But then it turned out to be touched, which actually probably was guaranteed them the win.
Yeah. Because when Ryan took that kick out, the ball hung in the air for 4 seconds. So,
yes.
Talk about kismet. There's nothing like a loyal player being rewarded. There's nothing like that in sports, pure. You know, he hung around where people left. Inaugural sung, saw so many people come and go. He hung around. And It's like fate that fell in his lap.
Can I just say as well, if the Suns don't recruit Rioli and Noble, they don't win that game of footy.
Yeah, Rioli is unbelievable.
So important. And Noble to winning. Like, they're just so important. You can just tell that they make such a difference.
Yeah, they do. And because they're elite kicks. And then it frees Powell up because he's not like the one. He's not the lone wolf.
Just helps so much.
And then Miller stepped up, and then Flanders was in patches. And then Ainsworth was good. King was good. Ben Long was unbelievable.
Oh, yes. Jai Farrah, you're very big on him.
He set up four goals in the second
very good things. Very good things.
He is.
The thing is, for a big man, he's actually pretty good below his knees too. So.
I'm pretty sure his nickname is NASA or the astronaut.
NASA.
Why?
Because he's very good in space.
Oh! Ooh,
I like that.
I'm pretty sure that's his nickname.
Yeah.
Now he's
put him on Pierce at the end and Pierce and Market after that.
I'll tell you what, if Fremantle won that game, Alex Pierce, geez, he played a last quarter. Him and Sarong and Brayshaw, they're just guns. Freo were unlucky not to win that. Like,
they did a lot right.
Yep.
But the thing is, I mean, you sort of forget with Freo, you actually forget how young they are. They're really young.
Yeah.
So, you know, to play like that, you know, put your heart in your sleeve, dig in. I mean, obviously you were unlucky to miss out, to lose that game, but I think there's only upsides, you know, like players like Jordan Clark are really finding themselves. Obviously Sarong, Tracy's coming in, Voss is sort of finding himself. But it was funny watching that game. I was watching it at home with Dad, and he had a multi on. He always does like a 8-goal multi. And I'll tell you what, he had
legs.
Yeah. All goal kickers. And he had like Jackson, Frederick. I can't really remember, but it was a little bit left field, right? But the thing is, it actually did all right. Except they missed sitters. Like Frederick running into the open goal and he check-sided it into a point.
Acts like that cost you finals.
Yeah. Cadman did the same thing in the Giants game.
Perfect,
you know?
Segue.
And then Guinea hit him with the, you know, mentally, mate, you are cooked. And then literally goes up the other end and dobs it from like the pocket.
And my word, he can play football, that man.
Watching that game or watching that passage of play, I was like, oh. The last guy I wanted to, like, back it up. I mean, I don't really like both teams. That's sort of like the Janus Hatred Cup because I really don't like the Giants because they always beat us and then Hawthorn's Hawthorn. But, I mean, Ginnivan, since he's come back into the side, he has a brain and he can use it.
I liked what Sam Mitchell said. I don't know if you saw, but he basically said Guinea's first few touches were absolutely rubbish, and I was proud that he actually like made a game of it.
Yeah,
my word, he can play football, that man.
He's an interesting case study.
Oh, he is.
He's
an interesting operator.
No, but it's like, I reckon more and more people will be like Guinea. Well, obviously, they will be. Like the kids growing up today are literally watching Guinea, and they're like, Guinea's the goat.
Stubby.
Tell you, in 20 years, it'll be interesting to see where Guinea sits in the football history.
That's where he sits in football.
You must be wrapped, though, finishing eighth and then winning through.
Yeah, I mean, I was wrapped. I was messaging a lot of things in the third quarter. It was an ultimate high, then just as low as you can get, pretty much.
Yeah, most of it was in my backswing.
I had people. I just thought, I'm just going to put my phone down. I'm just going to watch this last quarter. I'm going to look out the window. The sun was going down. I just talked to some existential spirits, and I'm like, just find a way. And so, I don't know how they did, but they found a way.
I'll tell you who stood up in the last, or throughout the whole game, but especially in the last, and he actually kickstarted Hawthorn's resurgence coming back. Hardwick.
Dimmer.
Blake Hardwick. His two efforts in the last quarter on Toby Bedford, he got him holding the ball and he outmarked him to defend an entry. That was the start. Obviously, in the third quarter, Josh Kelly came on and I think he had 14 and kicked two or something.
Oh,
absolutely,
my.
Like, absolutely dominated. You know, that was that six, seven goal run that they had. That was Kelly.
And away, he just slid that in there.
Hardwick.
The stand was shaking when he kicked his second.
Oh,
I swear to God.
Oh, yeah. All 20,000 of them are actually shaking the camera, but Hardwick in that last quarter, he stood up and he energized that Hawks group to kick away. I mean, they won by, what was it, 19 points? After they hit the front, like by point at the start of the quarter, I think when Hogan kicked the first goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so well done, Blake Hardwick. Well done.
It'll be interesting to see. I'll go take it up. It'll be interesting to see if we can just break that, because we've struggled away games this year against good teams. We haven't won one against a good team, and we finally won one. So hopefully we can take it into this week.
Do you think that it's a good thing you're going back to Adelaide? in the sense that
I have thought about this. It's like if we beat Adelaide, I feel like we'll like, oh my god, we can like win the flag.
It's like one of those, you know, hurdles you have to jump. Once you get it, it's like, geez, we're on here. Like, I think it's a good thing because obviously, I mean, you as a supporter, you were there when Sicily hit the post and you lost to Port. You were there.
I mean, our last games at the Adelaide Oval have been Burn Jones on the siren, then the final.
And then that breeze, that like, oh, the
then gather round, then that close loss to Adelaide.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, if anything, like, Geelong had lost the last three games to Brisbane, and you finally, like, get that hurdle. Janus. I wonder if the Hawks' sort of competitive record at Adelaide will finally, like, all right, this is the time. Make sense?
Makes sense. Tate up. Where are we going?
I was going to say, Hawthorn's back six is arguably the best.
Oh, yeah.
The only bit they're a bit lean is their midfield. But their back six is Battle, Barras, Sicily, Scrimshaw, Impey, Amon, Hardwick.
Mate, Impey's our back six
is, their back six, the back six is so really good. Like, that's elite. And they say defense with premierships.
If any of our midfielders go down, it's basically just GGs.
It's curtains.
It's literally curtains. We're like one injury away in the midfield for just completely losing all structure.
I think, I mean, I know it's not the midfield, but I think Deere also copped a little bit of a hamstring.
Yeah. We'll see what Mitch Lewis is made of.
Well, he kicked four in that semi-final that they won after the siren.
It means nothing to me.
In the VFL.
It means absolutely nothing.
Which they did win after the siren, by the way.
Yeah, true. Mm.
What was that guy's name? Bodie Ryan. Bodie Ryan kicked it after the siren. It was the pencil that kicked it to him.
We'll see what Mitch Lewis is made of.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's...
But I don't think it's bring too them all bad, to ground. Is what reports are saying.
It's, Yeah, it's a fascinating contest. Because on paper, Hawthorn look better. On paper. However, if Adelaide play anywhere near their best, the Hawks have got no chance. They'll just get smothered.
Yeah.
Because if the Giants are putting on that run. I mean, I don't want to say the Hawks were favorites in that elimination final in my mind. It was more that the Giants sort of fell into fifth. And the Hawks, at the end of the day, the Hawks and the Suns like just missed the top four. And it was only because of the way the eight was structured that they were punished to finish seventh and eighth. So really, like, it's not, again, the benefit of hindsight, but going into that, if I was going to pick an upset going into the finals, I was going to say probably the Hawks beating the Giants was the most likely. But we had three.
Bottom four. It was a weird bottom four. I know what you mean. Usually the bottom four, the fifth and eighth are different, but this year was just weird. I know exactly what you mean.
Like,
usually the eighth team doesn't even deserve to be there.
What, last year, Brisbane kicked the first 10 goals on Carlton last year, and we didn't even score for a quarter and three quarter, like basically till 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Like, that's a 5v8 final.
It was a weird bottom
four. Speaking of 5v8, it's 2 years since Carlton beat Sydney and 12 years since they beat Richmond to the day.
Mm-hmm. How do you celebrate?
By watching Nick Dygan kick four straight on the kick G. Four. I'll tell you, that's actually a phenomenal game of football if you go and watch it. It's actually unbelievable. Richmond played so well for a half, but then Carlton just played. You talk about experience. That is the only reason we won that game. Because we'd played enough finals, and that was Richmond's first final in 12 years. And we just had the experience to beat them. Plus, Chris Judd played arguably the greatest individual elimination final I've ever seen. He was unbelievable. And we just...
I'll just quickly say, boys, we, tomorrow night, on the topic of historical finals, we're going on footy trivia.
We are.
Now, if there's any... for Janus's birthday...
Yes.
If there is any area of the footy trivia we're going to struggle, what do you think it's going to be?
Well,
anything before the year 2000?
I was telling at lunch on Sunday, I was telling my be honest, telling my family I was doing trivia on my birthday, footy trivia. And they said, oh, you know, what sort of questions? And they were like, I was like, oh, don't know. But I reckon it might be something like Brownlow medalists before 2000.
Yeah.
And I actually got my phone out and I wanted to test my dad. Because my dad's quite the encyclopedia. He's quite the savant. And he could name from 1970 up to probably 2010. He could name all of them.
Bang.
So I tried to take note. I think 1995 was Paul Kelly. I think. Aggie 7 Dipper shared it with someone. But, yeah, I think... Yeah. I think
any,
and they'll throw, they 100% will throw 80s, you know, 80s, 90s to even 2000s stuff.
Hopefully they throw Norm Smith medals.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm good. I'm good from 79 onwards.
1985.
Oh, geez. Madden.
Well,
what was it?
Simon Madden, I'm pretty sure.
Speaking of Simon Madden, he's a very big boy, if I'm not mistaken. He's a ruckman, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Speaking of big boys,
oh,
we had Hafþór Bjornsson from Game of Thrones break the world deadlift record. He lifted 510 kegs, which is around 1,200 pounds.
That is ludicrous.
That is talk about specimen. Just imagine lifting 500 kilos standing up and just reaching over and just lifting it with your hands or your arms, whatever.
It's like half a car.
Like, I don't understand.
That's so much mass. I'm speechless. I've got no words.
It's unbelievable. Like, to put it into context, it's like lifting, like, five of our dads, kind of. Oh, like, it's just unbelievable.
Four, maybe.
I was giving him generous there.
Yes. Rounding into the 102.5 or whatever it was.
It is. Like, imagine them all lying on each other. Put in a box and then him lifting up the box.
That's just, it's inconceivable.
It's impressive. So shout out to Hafþór Bjornsson.
That's beautiful. That's such a good effort.
It is beautiful.
That's wild.
US Open, lads, just quickly.
Yes.
Alcaraz way too good.
Yes.
Another Alcaraz Sinner final. T-Dub?
Yes.
What are your thoughts? Is Carlos just streaming away? Is he just...
Nah.
Just...
It's 6-4. It's not like that different. And Sinner, I think Sinner was a bit cooked. I think he's a bit injured at the moment. I'm not sure what it is, but there was an article I was reading that was saying he was a little bit banged up. But Carlos... They sort of like were opposite. Like around Wimbledon, I feel like Sinner was playing much better and Carlos was a bit off, but Sinner's just a bit off now. And like, no disrespect to Felix. We love Felix, but Sinner dropped a set to Felix. Like, that's like, come on. There's a big gap there.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's sort of the next like Rafa Federer rivalry.
Well, it's a big two now, isn't it?
Oh, still big three.
Really?
Djokovic is the third best player in the world by so far. It's not even close. Yeah.
But I think this is, what was it, the second year in a row that it's, that the thing, that the tournaments have been won by the Alcaraz or Sinner.
Yep. Slams, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, slams.
It's beautiful.
So, mate, I mean, but it is clear that Djokovic can't, He can't beat them anymore.
He's just not good enough anymore. Like, he's not fit enough. He's not. He doesn't have the... He's just not as good anymore.
I do find it incredible. Like, I know I don't play much tennis really, but I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, surely if it's your day, you can win. But he just can't.
They're just that good.
I'm just so used to Djokovic just being able to find a way. And it's just weird that he can't.
And they've got something that like Zverev and Medvedev and Tsitsipas don't have.
It's mentality.
They have actual mental toughness. And I'll throw Team in that. I know Team won the US Open, but he only won that because Djokovic got defaulted and Zverev handed it to him.
Yeah.
Like, they just...
That's the thing with tennis.
They just wilted. And that was why Djokovic is so good and Rafa, because they're just so mentally strong.
Mm.
That's why I rate Stan so highly, because of when he won his slams. And Murray to a point. And Murray, and I'll be generous, and Murray as well. Like, those two are serious players. Especially, I just love Stan. Stan, I'm convinced, is the best one-handed backhand of all time. I know Federer's was good, but Stan's was a thing of beauty.
I think he actually inspired me. When he won that Australian Open, I remember watching that final.
Stan was him. Like, he was so good. Yes. They're good at the moment. At least they're good blokes. I know Sinner drug cheated, but like at least they're relatively good blokes.
Yeah, cool.
They're not knobs.
Speaking of knobs.
Hang on. Where's this going? Whoa, time out, Chief.
Who's to blame today for the Ravens' loss? The coaching staff or the quarterback?
That's a phenomenal question. Nah, the running back.
Just quickly, explain to the audience what happened today for the Ravens-Bills game.
Basically...
Two of the best teams in the NFL, just letting everyone know.
Yeah, so if you're not a fan of the NFL, basically the Ravens and the Bills are just two of the best teams who haven't won a Super Bowl for a while. I don't think the Bills have ever won one, and the Ravens haven't won one for about a decade. Anyway... Cut a long story short, they've basically got two gun quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and they were just gunslinging it. And the Ravens were up by 15 points with like 8 minutes to go. And then the Bills scored a touchdown. It was a great throw and completion. And then Derrick Henry, the running back, who had, I think, about 188 rushing yards on the day, proceeded to then fumble the ball, which is essentially a turnover, and then gave the Bills the ball back, and then they scored another touchdown and then kicked a game-winning field goal. So they just really... Well, the Ravens are an interesting one. They're a complicated species. They just can't win the moments. They dominated.
Like the Giants.
Yes.
Like the Giants.
Yes. They just can't win the moments. They dominated 52-53 out of the 60 minutes. They were so much better for most of it. But then ultimately one play just changed the entire momentum of the game and it cost them. But that's what I love about the NFL. Like, you can be bad the whole game. You just need a good 5 minutes at the end and you can win. Like, you can hang around by scoring the odd ugly touchdown or ugly field goal in like a 20 to 13 game. And then you can have one good drive, score a touchdown, one defensive play, get the ball and win. Like, that's why the sport is so good. Cause it,
I mean,
you go, Janus.
I was going to say soccer, like football, is very similar to that. You could be really, it could be the deadest game for 89 minutes. You know, both teams would be absolutely diabolically rubbish, but it's that 89th minute or that stoppage time winner that, you know, it's just one.
Keeps you on your seat.
One through ball, one whipped cross, like one play can define the whole game. And it doesn't matter how long the game is; it's only remembered for that you know patch.
And I'm going to talk about Josh Allen, the guy that looks like Chris Pratt,
the guy that married Hayley Steinfeld, right?
Yes,
Spider Gwen.
Josh Allen is him. Like, I'm sorry. He just is. He is so good. Like 394 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 passing, 2 rushing, 112 rating. His ability now to manage games and not just be Superman is MVP caliber. I know he won the MVP last year, rightly so, 28 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He is so good. He is so good. He owns the Miami Dolphins. He now owns part of the AFC. Like, but he, yet again with him, the only question is, can he beat Mahomes in a playoff? He may not have to this year. He may not have to, because other teams might be able to do it now. But he is, I don't say this lightly, he is so deserving of a Super Bowl, it's not funny. Like, he is that good. Lamar's good, but Allen is better. Allen is better. He's a better rusher. He's a better passer. Or actually, depending on the type of run. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's got a better arm. Like, he's such a good footballer.
Like Nat Fyfe in his prime.
Yeah.
Unstoppable, but couldn't beat the Hawks.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Pretty much.
Can I just say as well, Janice mentioned through ball. When we were watching the Geelong game and Dangerfield crossed it into Dempsey 50 metres away, the bloke in front of me...
the controller.
No, the bloke in front of me, well, close. It's L1 triangle, which is like a through ball lob. And he's like, that was the best L1 triangle I've ever seen. And I'm like, that is just phenomenal.
That's ball great. Knowledge.
No, yeah. It was cool. When I heard him say it, I was like, that is such facts. It was like the ultimate
and
through
ball lob. We were at the pocket that Dangerfield kicked it from, so...
Yeah, that was cool. Oh, well, my Cardinals found a way. They didn't lose the unlosable.
They won ugly.
Which is good.
They just won ugly. They did the job. They dodged a bullet, but they did the job.
They won ugly.
Which is important to do in that division. Given Very that important. You're dealing with the Rams, who are Super Bowl contenders, because they have an elite defense. And the addition of Devontae Adams and Nakua is looking beautiful. I know they've lost Cup, but Adams is like just as good on his day now because they're both a bit older. And then, yes. Now, the Cards did well.
Your Broncos found a way as well, Jonas.
Listen, I can't say that NFL is one of those things that I really am interested. I'll follow the scores, but I won't really watch a game. But I do know that the Broncos won today.
That is crisp.
A great win.
They did. It was a bad win, but they are wins a win. They win got the win. Chocolates against arguably the worst team in the NFL. So they did well, which was better than the Finns.
What? Bang! Hello,
bang!
Jeez.
Hello,
mate. I talk about the Finns and bad things happen.
I mean, you said you were feeling quite spiritual. Obviously, that's quite a bit of a delayed reaction. That's the universe telling you something.
I've been watching a lot of horror movies recently.
You have.
Oh, bang. That was...
Talk to me. What was that? You watched The Witch yet?
That's on tonight. I'm putting Ooh. That on tonight.
That's Hello. Beautiful. I don't know what that is.
What about, well, The Conjuring Wars.
I'm going to watch the original Exorcist from 1973. That's what I want to watch.
I mean, you're a bit of a film buff. You're a bit of a cinephile. You'll appreciate it. It is a little bit dated. But
okay.
It is for any horror aficionado, anyone who's getting into the genre, give it a watch.
You gotta appreciate the classics.
I'll tell you what hasn't aged: The Lord of the Rings.
Ooh,
that's true.
My word,
love The Lord of the Rings.
Best trilogy of all time. Oh yeah, you're like. Fight me.
Yeah, I'm going to wrap us up. Speaking of Lord of the Rings, I want everyone to give their... Who's going to win the ring this year in the AFL 2025 season?
Ooh.
Is it a simple no? We're not going to guess?
I'm not one of those people who likes tempting fate.
So one basically, Janus thinks Geelong's going to win the flag.
I'm trying to do
No, no, I said no such thing.
We can infer.
Nah, it's interesting.
I'm a cosmic supporter. Don't tempt the universe.
Is that why you're wearing a black Hammers?
It's a good top, isn't it?
In saying that, the cosmic gods paid me a visit. I'll never forget this. Super Bowl Monday here in Australia. I was at the park before the game, before the kickoff. Now, normally it's a Super Bowl. I'll just have a little flutter. Have a little flutter or two. But I get these weird gut feelings sometimes before sport. And I just know they're just right. It's very rare, but it happens. Like, it's very rare, but it happened with Mason Cox in 2018. We were driving to the pub to watch the game, and I just remember saying to Dad, Collingwood are going to smash Richmond tonight. Collingwood are going to just touch them up. And they did. And it happened on the Super Bowl this year. I was walking back from the park, and I'm like, the Eagles are going to belt them today. The Chiefs are cooked. They're going to belt them. And I thought, you know what? I'm sick of you saying all this stuff. And then people are like, oh yeah, put your money where your mouth is. So I put my money where my mouth was. And the Eagles cashed in. And they made me cash. They made me money. And Cooper DeJean will forever be my favorite Philadelphia Eagle. Because I think I put $3 on their defense to score. And oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. When he ran into the end zone, I was up and about. I don't promote gambling. Please gamble responsibly. But anyway, it's a great story about cosmics in sport.
Just like the swallow. It's all about the fairy tales.
Exactly right. Exactly right. I think that's a wrap.
So, hopefully we witness another fairy tale Friday night, and we're here next week preparing for the biggest game of our lives.
Well, Collingwood Gold Coast.
And also, we got to hope for a fairy tale trivia finish tomorrow.
Yes, happy birthday, Janus, in an hour and a half. Really, yep.
Another lap around the sun. O'Shea kicking his first goal is an early birthday present.
Well,
my second birthday present, Janus, is Mitch Duncan has joined the Eagles as an assistant coach next year.
Did they give him a Hungry Jack's franchise too?
He's from Western Australia.
Yeah, he is too.
Oh, okay.
Australia. I think Simo got that, didn't he? Yeah.
Simo. So,
it makes sense. Anyway.
Yeah, he did. He got like three.
No, Duncan. He's from Western Australia.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Simo got.
He got like three Hungry Jack's franchises, which is beautiful. But yes, thank you all so much for listening. I hope you're enjoying. Of the six teams left in the finals, best of luck for the 31 NFL teams that are remaining, other than the Miami Dolphins. Good luck for the rest of the season. Have a great week and have a big final quarter, everyone.